Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. And let's be honest, I'm not here for the highlight reels. I want to talk about how your mess turned into a message and how you keep moving while getting your ass kicked and what it looks like to build something meaningful when you don't have it all figured out yet. So we don't do fake confidence in the show, no soft takes, just real people, real courage, and real momentum. And I believe this with my whole being is that, Jesus loves us way too much to leave us stuck in the mess. You were created to live in your highest God-given potential. And the best part is like you're called to bring people with you, to be contagious, to be courageous, to be magnetic. The mess, that's not your disqualification. That is your assignment. So if you've been sitting there thinking, who am I to say anything? Like you're exactly who the room is for. Because if you're in the arena, this is your space. So I'm excited to bring on Dwayne Morton today. On paper, he looks like discipline, success, high performance, former international basketball player, author, speaker, coach, working with elite athletes and business leaders, but that's not what makes him interesting. And I want him to tell the story, so I'm not going to tell you guys anymore. I'm going to go ahead and bring him out. So, Dwayne, thank you so much for coming on to the show today. I'm excited. I'm excited to meet you. So, give us your elevator pitch. Tell us, what makes you special?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to the listeners. I love to start that off first. I just believe in gratitude, and time is the most valuable commodity, especially when you hear my story. So I want to say thank you to them for giving us their time. And then, of course, I want to thank you for inviting me on to share your platform to allow me to share my story and my journey. So what makes me special? First of all, we're God's creation, so we're one of ones. So first of all, we are somebody right off the top. And as a young kid, we had that where we knew we were special, and then it kind of just fell off because we found out that other people didn't think we were so special. And so that's the beautiful part is after that we have this rebuild. And so for me, I'm a former international basketball player, like you said, but my path was completely blocked. I didn't play my last 2 years of high school basketball. And so through that, I was looking at a professional career, and that kind of got me sidetracked, sorry, sidelined. I ended up hurting my knee. So I lost that career. So I didn't even really get to even test out the professional part. But what it did was it was a preparation part of being in a forge to prepare me for the other challenges in life. In 2006, I was diagnosed with a rare blood cancer, and I was originally given 5 years to live. And later on, that got pushed to about 10 to 15, is what they said. And then, as I was battling that and was dealing with the symptoms of that, I was involved in a police shooting as a bystander. I was just driving by, and a stray bullet hit the truck I was driving. If the bullet would have been an eighth of an inch to the left, kills me. Bullet's an eighth of an inch to the right, hits my 3-year-old niece in the back seat. So I was dealing with PTSD and survivor's guilt. The other part is that's kind of kicked off my spiritual journey. I mean, it already was spiritual anyway, but that really, really set it off. And the on March 8th of 2024, I found out I was misdiagnosed. And then what I was diagnosed with was something that could have been taken care of in 2 weeks to 2 months. So I had severe sleep apnea. And so people are like, how did that happen? And the documentation kind of shows that they were parallel, but really what I decided to do was I could choose how to respond. I could sit on my butt and just be woe me, or I could do something to help others. So that's what I did, and that's how the coaching part came about. That's how I became a published author and then an inspirational speaker.
I have so many questions right now. My brain is like, where do I even start? I need to learn to bring a pen and paper so I could try to write these down. So first of all, okay, the diagnosis. Like mentally, when you go 18 years and it's misdiagnosed, like what did that do to you mentally?
Oh, it crushed me at first, but it gave me hope. There was like when he said that, I was like, it's also a seventh doctor that had seen my test and stuff like that. So It wasn't like, I didn't go get a second opinion or something like that. It was like, hey, the medical community believes I have this, so I fit this box. And so when he told me that, I was like, is this real? But I allowed myself to be curious and just dream. Like, I usually would pray every night, hey, if what would I do if I was healthy? What could I do if I was healthy? And now this guy's giving me the opportunity to be healthy. So let's, instead of thinking, am I healthy? Let's see what we can do. And so that's where I just let my brain and my curiosity and go into, hey, what would I like to do? And I knew that I had to serve others because I knew I couldn't settle on the story.
No, that definitely makes sense. And I mean, there has to have been a moment where you realize like this isn't normal and no one around you really is catching on. But with this entire experience, I would say it's human nature to kind of become bitter. So how do you think you avoided that just natural kind of reaction, the human reaction to that, to be bitter about this experience?
So there was definitely, I'm not going to sit there and say bitterness, but there was definitely some like victim mentality part. But then I was like, no,
You
switch to
didn't stay
gratitude.
there.
And the whole point is, and I actually, like, I speak on this, is ownership over victimhood. So even the police shooting, I take ownership of everything I do that day. Like, I got in the truck. I decided to go get ice cream with my niece. Like, I decided to go straight rather than turn right. And what that does is that gives me my power. That empowers me to say, hey, I did everything and I had choice in this, even though if I didn't know the consequences. And we make choices and decisions every day. We just don't know if they're going to be good or bad consequences. Unfortunately, that day it was a bad consequence. But also, there was a miracle part where I feel like I'm divinely protected from what happened, right?
Not just you, but your passenger as well. That is, an incredible perspective. And I think it is easy to get pulled into that, the victim mentality. And this is the thing. I'm sure people, because it makes them comfortable. So I'm sure it's uncomfortable when you take massive responsibility for that. I'm sure it makes people uncomfortable. Like there shouldn't have been bullets flying, and you kind of blame everybody around you because that's what keeps them comfortable. So I think taking massive responsibility is one of the favorite things that I love to talk about because a lot of people don't do that. But you take it a step further and you're taking responsibility for things that really aren't your fault.
No, so it's not just me taking that responsibility of that at fault. It's taking it back the things that I chose. And just say, hey, I chose this, so therefore the consequences, that's okay. I believe in accountability. That was the biggest problem, or I'd say issue, was that there wasn't a lot of accountability part in that. But really, it was just staying in that gratitude space. I knew that gratitude was really everything. I'm very lucky. My mentor, Melvin Turner Sr., he was mentored by Jim Rohn. And so Jim Rohn mentored him, and then Melvin Turner Sr. mentored Jim Rohn in public speaking. So I knew that, like, I had really great advice. And he always said, your attitude is your altitude. And so I always was like trying to, I hate the word trying, so I'm gonna say attempt. I'm always attempting to control my thoughts, but also control my attitude. And maybe my attitude isn't great right now, but I can flip it and change it, when I get out of my little rut.
I want to separate. I want to have you separate because I'm sure I can understand where you're coming from in this space. But I want you to separate that toxic positivity of gratitude of being thankful in, the reality of life. Because I too believe in a attitude of gratitude, but there's times that I catch myself and I'm like, whoa, 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 like we are not living in the element that we should be in right now. And it's just, the past 2 days were a blur and I realized like I haven't been thankful. I haven't been anything. So I kind of, step out of that space. But having an attitude of gratitude is there's a toxic version, where you're kind of lying to yourself because you're going to have a lot of other feelings. And I think it's important to honor those feelings. But like, how do you bring yourself back to that space when you catch yourself kind of drifting away from that element of gratitude?
Yeah, so the gratitude starts right when I wake up. So there's so many people that don't get that day. And so for me, that's a plus one for me. Like I like numbers. So I was like, this is a plus one. I should be grateful because I woke up. There's so many other people that don't. And so once I really just got into that part, then I built. And one of the things that it's called Dwayne's Daily Plan of Attack. I started doing this when I was battling the diagnosis. It's gratitude, self-care, movement, and being adaptable. And so throughout that day, I'm looking for those things. I need to move. And so one of the things for me was just going to get some OJ at the morning, but also celebrate the fact that I moved. So that's the other aspect. And so the positive toxic that mindset, like I get it, but also like there's parts of it where you can build upon it, and you don't have to have that, like, oh, the sky is falling on me right now, and it's okay. It is okay, because what most people don't realize is that you have to have that contrast. So like you have to have be there's a happiness and there's a sadness, and the sadness makes you appreciate the happiness part, right? And so that's the other aspect. I was just grateful for just having that day. And I kept living for that day. And so that's kind of where I think that kind of sets it apart. But I'm not one of those type people to have a flat tire and just be like, oh, this wrecked my day. But what I can do is take that gratitude of maybe this stopped me from getting into a car accident. Maybe. So there's that other switch where I can say, okay, I'm grateful for this.
It's like going downstairs and seeing the leak in the basement and it's fresh, and you're like, thank God I found it now, because this could have been catastrophic had I not seen it for 2 weeks, right? Like it's that perspective of this really worked out for me, to catch this in that moment. I love that. What separates someone who overcomes from someone who is just staying stuck?
I think the person who wants that stays in stuck wants to be stuck. There's a mentality of I want this because I don't have to make a choice. I don't have to make a decision. I don't have to do that stuff. And there's parts in my life where I was stuck because I was told to be content. I was told, hey, you can't do this. So, especially when the medical diagnosis, I wasn't able to run. I wasn't able to play basketball. And, I would attempt that type of stuff, and they're like, why are you doing this? Like, you're not supposed to do this. And so it's really one of those things of just contentment. And when we get content, that's usually when we end up getting stuck.
That makes a lot of sense. What is the hardest mental battle that you fought that nobody really saw happening?
So there's a couple, but I would say the police shooting and knowing that it was so close to being me or my niece. I don't really like to talk much about my niece just for the simple fact that like I'm not her parents. But it was just one of those things of when it happened, I was just grateful to be okay. But then I was like, oh, that was a miracle that happened, that it hit that C pillar. And the C pillar, for people who aren't familiar, it's where the roof and the bed of the truck meet. So there's only one plate, there's only certain places of metal on a vehicle that could stop a bullet. And lucky for us, it was that spot.
That's amazing. I mean, being the bystander in this, like, how did that truly impact just your perspective, not just on life? You've touched on that a little bit, but like control.
This is a great question, and I've never been asked that. So the control aspect is we really don't have control. We just have to have trust and faith. That's it. And God, creator, source, the universe, whatever you want to call it. Like there is a higher power and I'm not it. And at any point, any time that can, that changes my ability to be here or not. And so I think that is another aspect that I learned early on, but also is with something that, like, as I'm getting older, I understand through the levels of that spot. And I think that's that awareness is really what ha kind of helps me to go along with the day.
Yeah, I imagine someone listening, because you did say for a second, I believe I heard you say you had PTSD from that. So there is this element of fear, and you know, people don't make decisions because of fear. And I imagine this is something that naturally would have been terrifying. And you're going to think about that. Like every time you leave the house, it's easy for your brain to kind of think like what's possible. And for you, taking a stray bullet, like that is scary. So, how did you move from that fear base? Like, how would you even encourage, like, say someone's listening and they've been through that trauma of something like this that was out of their control, and you know, just that paralyzing fear that can overcome you. How do you get them to move through that to understand, you know, and I do believe that it's not possible to move forward without God, right? Like, that's what keeps me knowing that I'm safe. That's what helps me move through decisions to not be afraid in the world. But something like that on a deeper personal level, or our brains want to protect us. And sometimes they're louder than the voice of God, right? Like the scary story gets super big and we're like, yeah, okay, I'm not leaving the house today. How did you move through your PTSD and kind of channel the idea of fear when it comes to engaging publicly and moving in your life?
Yeah, so the fear aspect was there, the PTSD that, so what I did was I went through tradition, and I believe in traditional talk therapy. I think it's helpful.
Yeah.
For me, it was actually making it worse. And so I ended up finding someone who did hypnosis, and I as soon as I did a session with him, the level 9, level 10 trauma that I was dealing with, and when I did it was actually after a misdiagnosis too, so I can say there were the traumas. But he brought those to where they're neutral, where I can get on a podcast and talk about it and it not be where from a fear or like, oh, if I drive by this, by the police station, that I'm going to get shot. Like, that's the way our body keeps us safe. That's our limiting beliefs. And so that's to keep us our survival instincts. And so the other aspect is how likely is that to reoccur? Not very likely, but there is a chance. And so there's that other aspect of like your brain's like, oh, there's a chance. So like every time I drop by, but the hypnosis gives your nervous system a break and says, no, we're just going to keep this neutral. So before that, I struggled a lot. And the one of the reasons that I struggled was in my eye, there wasn't enough, I'm going to say, accountability. And also, I'm pro police, pro gun, and I have no problem saying that. But also, like, there is a part where, as a public servant, there's this other aspect. And to go into the police shooting, a criminal had a hidden gun. He was detained, and he ended up murdering a police officer. I don't want to take away from that tragic part. And so that's the other aspect. So I'm a small part of their story, but it's a big part of my story. But truly what happened was that kicked off my spiritual journey to another level. Because when you have a near-death experience, that is when you're like, have I done everything today that I could do? And most of the time before that, I would have said no. I could have done today. I live my life. Like today on March 18th, I live March 18th like this is the last day of my life because it could be. And so I want to be able to get everything out of it.
No, that's an amazing perspective for sure. What does showing up fully actually look like on your worst days? And I know, like, I don't know how relatable it is. My audience is mostly women, and I'm speaking from that place of like, I have a morning routine. That's what fills my cup. That's how I am the best version of myself. If that gets off its rocker, I'm not the greatest person. If I don't get time to work out, if I don't get to read the Bible before I, you know, have to do anything else. But I'm also a mom. So like I'm waking up, my alarm goes off, I look over, my kid's puking, you know, like my whole day shifts. And while I hold space for two things, like I'm grateful I can be here to take care of my kid, I'm also holding space for the fact like this is, I, you know, I can't fill my cup today. And, you know, the day is it's definitely not regulated for me. So what does it look like to fully show up when, on the worst days?
Yeah, so we give ourselves grace for those. And other thing is moms have to be adaptable, and that's actually part of the reason that I made that part of my program. Things come up, and there are also things that, you might get an unexpected bill, somebody might get fired. Like all these type of things, they do really happen, and they're not the worst thing, but when it happens to you, that is one of the worst things. People get diagnosed with cancer. Like there's all these things, so we just have to be adaptable. And so what I would say is did you fill your cup the day before fully? Because that's preparation for the next day. And so I would say that would be one of the things. And if you did, then you would be able to adapt and be like, well, I didn't do it this as early, but maybe I could do it at 11:15. So I think it's just being adaptable, but also how important what is it to you? Is it That's the other part is like when I mess with my morning routine, we had an issue with a tire that w was the belt had broke, and so we had to take it to the repair place, and it messed up my routine. And so what I did was we went, took the tire or took the vehicle to get the tire fixed, and as soon as I got home, like I went back and did my morning routine. So it was very important to me to do that. So the rest of the day isn't what I would say ruined from most people, but I just looked at it as like me just being adaptable.
It did take a long time for me to grow through that space. But I think, a lot of people that I talk to aren't quite there yet. So what would you say to, just help them make that small shift to understand, like, maybe you didn't get to it now, but, a bad moment or a couple hours of distraction don't derail your entire future. Don't quit. It's like an easy way out for people sometimes. Like, ah, crap, I didn't do this. I'm done for the day. I'm gonna go watch Netflix and not move off the couch for the next 12 hours. I'll try again tomorrow.
So here's the thing is I just believe in grace. And if you believe in grace, you have to give it and take it at the same time, receive it. And so it's the same thing. Maybe if I miss my morning routine tomorrow and I just decide, hey, I don't want to do it, I'll do it tomorrow. Like maybe it's that attitude, but maybe that's the rest that you need. I think it's just to that person. How important is it? Because like me and you, it seems like it's one of our top priorities. But to some people who just started, it's not as much because they don't have that consistency. I love consistency. So anything that I do consistently, I want to continue because I'm like, I have a winning streak or I have, like,
Winning streak is everything.
right. So I want to keep this streak up. So I think that it's just perspective of it, but it's also where people are. And ultimately, I would rather have people give themselves grace on missing it rather than them giving themselves and putting themselves in guilt or shame.
Nope, I 100% agree with that. So where do you think that, where did you have to kind of check your ego in this whole journey?
Yeah, so I learned from basketball about the ego. Like that's actually one of the reasons I hurt my knee was I was in my ego. And so from that point on, and that was like at age of 19, 20, so I was like I always kind of checked it, but then there's times when, an ego is good. We have that other part where sometimes like, we're doing a podcast. We have to be confident and say, "Hey, like I'm special. I'm on this podcast for a reason." Right? We have to also have confidence and have an ego. I like to set it aside. I like to pet it, know it's there, but let it know that that doesn't have to control me. And so I think that's the other aspect is like knowing it's there, but also knowing that like it doesn't control me. Like if I do something and it's fully an ego, then it's out of alignment for me.
I totally see that. What is something that you had to unlearn to become who you are today?
So the things that I had to unlearn was A, I have value, like real value. And not from a worldly perspective, but from like a godly perspective, that one of one. And the value part, I think that when we start looking at it from a worldly perspective, that's where we lose our value right there.
Yeah.
But that was really one of the things for me was that I'm not gonna say struggle, but it's like one of those things where it's like, it takes a, like it's layers. You put one layer on and you let it sit, and then you pick another layer and you just build your value. And then the other thing is surround yourself by the right type of people that see your value. And I wasn't very good at that. I was a, yes, I can do it. I was one of those people that always wanted to please everyone, but also I would stand up for myself, but it would already be where I built the wall, but then I took it down to allow one or two times happen. And then I would get pissed off because they went on my boundaries.
Yep.
Like that's not how boundaries work, right?
Right.
So I'd say those two things.
Yeah. What do people get wrong about resilience?
I think for resilience, people think that you have to go through like this huge monumental shift to build it, or you have to just have this big, huge mindset. It's not like that. It's just knowing that, like, if you do something and there's a setback, you're setting up to make that comeback, and that's it. And it could be writing a paper and it just not fit, and then just restart over. I think that there's this, you know, because you said a lot of people are, you know, a lot of your listeners are women. But I have a lot of my family quilted, and I remember that they would mess up and then they would be like, oh, well, I can take it apart and start over. That's the other part. It's just that is resilience. When you're able to identify, hey, I can restart and I can do over.
Yeah. That's one thing I can assure everybody that I would quit. If I was quilting and I messed up, I'd just quit. Like that is, I love the patience. That just takes so, it's just so, I respect that skill set for sure. So that's amazing. I have my last question for you, and then I want you to tell everybody where they can get resourced with you, where they can get your books, where they can connect, all of that information. But so right now in the present moment, where are you still being stretched?
So I would say that where I'm being stretched at would be where I'm multifaceted and talented, and you know, everybody tells you to niche down, and it's like, no, like I don't want to niche down. I'm multifaceted. I'm multi-talented. Like, you know, and that's why I'm a speaker. I'm an author. I'm a podcast host. I'm a podcast guest. Like I like this stuff. If I didn't enjoy it, then I wouldn't do it. So I think that's been the struggle, is being able to hear the noise, listen to the noise, but follow my heart and follow like what I want to do. That's been where I've been stretched the most, is everybody wants me to, you know, I just want your ear for a second.
Yeah.
I want to tell you this, and like, you should do this. No, my intuition guides me. My heart guides me.
Yep. I could so relate to that. Where can people find you, find your book, get resourced?
Yeah. So, Show Up to Win with the number 2 is going to be where, is one of the websites. DwayneMorton.com is going to be another website. If you go up to Show Up to Win and join the community, I believe it's the wait list right now, there will be a way that you can download this PDF, and it's called Dwayne's Daily Plan of Attack. So that was what I was telling about the gratitude, self-care, movement, adaptability. So I'll give those a PDF. The book is going to be on Amazon.com, and it's called The Bounce Back Blueprint, Become Bulletproof. And the cover is right above my head. And the thing I like to tell people is I'm approachable. One of the things that I realize is what I went through, most people have never went through. So that's the reason why I know that like, people are willing to listen to me, is because I've got this real life experience with two things that a lot of people haven't ever experienced. I can put myself in a room of one pretty quick. So I do resilience integrity coaching. So same thing, is like, go to that website and shoot me an email, and I'll be willing to to see how I can serve to people to the best ability.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And Dwayne, I'm just going to tell you what I think actually makes you special, because it's not the titles, it's not the accolades, it's not the fact that life hit you with things that you didn't choose. And instead of playing victim, it's going to be that you took responsibility for yourself. You took responsibility for stewarding, you know, your relationship with faith and what the way God moved through your life, and you're not afraid to speak about that. And I think that's incredibly rare. A lot of things that, you know, people would have called it quits on. Most people spend their whole lives blaming, explaining, or they wait for things to be fair. And you did not. You decided to show up anyway, to build anyway, and now you're leading anyway. And I think that makes you dangerous in the best way. That is what makes you special. And the fact that you're stewarding that gift, that, you know, you're honoring that calling that God put on your life, I absolutely respect it. I honor that. And I want you guys to get resourced with him today. And to, you know, you guys listening, obviously, thank you so much, because the show wouldn't exist without you. And this is the difference right here. Life is not always going to be fair. Like, you're going to choose, your shit's going to hit you. You're in the arena, and it's not stuff you ask for. Like, nobody wakes up and says, "Ooh, I hope a stray bullet comes for me today." Nobody does that, but you still get to choose how you respond. You get to choose your perspective. And Jesus didn't call you to sit in what broke you. He called you to rise, to live in your highest potential, and to anything that tried to take you out, you know, use it to pull someone else forward. That's the magic of being contagious and being courageous and being magnetic. Your mess is your message. So if you've been sitting there waiting for the perfect moment, this is it. Get into the arena. If this episode hits you, please subscribe it, share it, and send it to someone who needs to hear this today. And then I do love the star reviews. I think those are cute, super cute. But I'm asking you to leave a written review. This is a baby show, but these stories matter. Every voice that has come on here is touching that next person. And you have access to people that we never will. So I'm asking you to step into something outside of yourself and just share this. Share this out. And if you're ready for the hot seat, come and tell me why you're special. Again, thank you so much, Dwayne. This was amazing. Your story is incredible. And you guys, I'll see you in the arena.
Thanks, everyone.